Up the load. Start the new term with a win. Spend 250 kwacha or more on an Absa POS with any credit card, debit card, or mobile money wallet, and spin to win essential school supplies. From books to stationery to backpacks or calculators, Bookworld has got it all. And the best part? At the lowest prices. Visit your nearest Bookworld store countrywide. Bookworld, where education is our priority. Terms and conditions apply. Absa, your store. Story matters.
Seventeen passengers injured in Chisamba Road traffic accident. Carway to get international airport by 2027. In Global News, aid agency see thousands fleeing DR Congo violence face dire conditions in Burundi. For the main news at 18 hours, my name is Constance Mwezina Mwinga. 17 passengers have sustained injuries in a road traffic accident that occurred this morning in Chisamba area along the Great North Road. Zambia Police Public Relations Officer Godfrey Chilavi says the accident involved a Scania bus operated by Victoria Bus Service, which was heading towards Kawe from Lusaka. Chilavi says preliminary investigations indicate that the driver lost control of the vehicle due to excessive speed, causing the bus to veer off the road and overturn. He has explained that out of the 60 passengers on board, 43 escaped unhurt, 17, including a six-month-old infant, sustained injuries. Mr. Chilavi says the injured passengers were rushed to Liteta Hospital, where five, including the infant, remain admitted, while 12 have since been discharged after receiving medical treatment.
Preliminary investigations indicate that the driver lost control of the vehicle due to excessive speed, causing the bus to veer off the road and overturn. The Zambia Police Service has since launched investigations into the incident and urges all road users to exercise caution, adhere to prescribed speed limits, and observe traffic rules to prevent similar occurrences.
Central Province Permanent Secretary Dr. Milna Manakampwe has announced plans by government to construct an international airport in Kawe within the next 2 years as part of efforts to boost economic growth and improve aviation infrastructure. Speaking in Kawe during the third quadrennial conference of the National Union of Aviation and Allied Workers today, Dr. Manakampwe said the airport, expected to be completed by 2027, will enhance productivity and support national development. He says government has already secured 11,000 hectares of land for the Kawe International Airport project, adding that another airport is also planned for Kapiri Mposhi, which will serve as a center of excellence. And Dr. Manakampwe has stressed the need for workers in the aviation sector to embrace technology and invest in capacity building to remain competitive. He adds that government remains open to dialogue with unions to strengthen relations and collectively address challenges in the sector, further encouraging the union to allocate 25% of members' monthly subscriptions towards skills development and training.
By the year 2027, Kaba International Airport as well, where Kapiri has been nominated or selected deliberately by Mr. President to be a center of excellence, number one, in sporting activities, to have a cargo airport, Kapiri Mposhi here. The design, everything we are done. What is remaining now is to start the work. Because the parcels of land, 11,000 hectares, have already been identified, marked, and everything, the economic social survey has been done and conclusively concluded. So I thought you should know that you have two big airports within your region, Kapiri Mposhi and Kaba.
The Road Transport and Safety Agency, RATSA, has disclosed that it will introduce a new information system by the end of the first quarter of 2026, aimed at enhancing efficiency in service delivery. Speaking on the Tuesday edition of Let the People Talk program, RATSA Chief Executive Officer Amon Mwemba said the current system, Electronic Zambia Transport Information System, EZAMTIS, which was installed in 2016, has reached its lifespan. Mr. Mwemba revealed that the new system will enable drivers to renew licenses within 2 minutes, among other benefits.
We are working on a new transport information system, which will also be coming online first quarter of 2026. That will change, revolutionize the way we do business at RTSA in terms of turnaround times for vehicle registration, for change of ownership, and plenty other things. The system we're currently using will be 10 years old next year, 2026. It was bought in 2016. And as you know, technology, a year or two, but we've had it for 10 years.
And Mr. Mwemba has expressed concern over the rising number of road crash fatalities, saying RAFSA will recruit honorary traffic officers starting next week to help control traffic and reduce accidents. He further said artificial cameras will be mounted on highway to detect speeding vehicles during this festive season.
What the cameras do is that they will talk to each other, and between them they will calculate the speed, the average speed that you were doing between the two cameras. And if your speed was exceeding the speed limit, they will still charge you. So these are the cameras that we have. So for those drivers that think they'll be clever over Christmas, beware. I think we need to conduct more education than being punitive. Maybe that's the only way we can change the culture, because if people start appreciating why those speed limits are there, maybe they'll start changing the way they behave.
In more news, Secretary to the Cabinet Patrick Kanga has urged chief executive officers of statutory bodies and state-owned enterprises to internalize and fully implement the recently approved corporate governance code. Speaking this morning during the Integrity Committee Chief Executive Officers Forum in Lusaka, Mr. Kanga, in a speech read for him by Deputy Secretary to the Cabinet, Dr. Oliver Kalabo, says the comprehensive implementation of the code is key to strengthening accountability and integrity in public institutions. He has disclosed that to institutionalize compliance, the Office of the Secretary to the Cabinet is working on incorporating the establishment of integrity committees, submission of action plans, and quarterly progress reports into the key performance indicators for all permanent secretaries and chief executive officers of public bodies. Mr. Kangwa has emphasized that the code provides a clear framework for ethical leadership, transparency, and effective oversight, which are essential for improving service delivery and public confidence in state institutions.
Fostering a culture of integrity requires operationalizing the very soul of our nation. Our commitment is rooted in the national values and principles enshrined in our constitution: morality and ethics, patriotism and national unity, human dignity and social justice. These values are not lofty ideals to be recited at ceremonies. They are a practical framework for integrity committee programs.
And speaking at the same event, Anti-Corruption Commission Director General Daphne Chabu revealed that a total of 267 integrity committees have so far been established across the country, stating that 265 of the committees are in public sector institutions, while only two are in the private sector.
As I speak today, 267 ICs have been established, 265 in public sector institutions, and two in private sector institutions. Submission of action plans and reports. Submission of action plans and quarterly progress reports remains a challenge for some ICs. In view of this, the Commission intends to introduce an online reporting system.
Moving on to global stories, the nearly 90,000 refugees who fled to Burundi after the recent escalation of violence in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo face dire conditions in cramped camps with limited access to food and water, aid agencies say. Congolese M23 rebels recently captured the city of Uvira near the Burundi border, and the fighting forced hundreds of thousands from their homes. Medical charity MSF, which has been providing emergency help, has raised concerns about the worsening humanitarian situation. The BBC has more.
The Ugandan government has restricted imports of Starlink satellite internet equipment ahead of January's elections. The opposition fears the move could lead to internet restrictions during the polls. The Democratic Republic of Congo has resumed cobalt exports after lifting a 10-month ban aimed at stabilizing prices hit by global oversupply. It's the world's leading producer of the key metal. The U.S. Department of Justice has published thousands more files relating to the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, its largest such release to date. Among the documents is an email from an investigator that says Donald Trump travelled many more times on Epstein's private jet than was previously reported. Mr. Trump's presence on such flights does not indicate wrongdoing.
We take a quick break. We'll return shortly.